good to see everyone back this evening. Get this down out of my eyesight here so I can see you. It's been a nice day, hasn't it? Brother Rumker mentioned in his prayer that he prayed that the Lord would keep this cool weather throughout the remainder of the summer. I like that thought. However, we are still in August, so be prepared for the hot weather to return, but nevertheless, it sure has been a nice day. A little wet, but it sure has been refreshing. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a statement in the Scripture we find in the book of Peter. For a busybody in other people's matters. Something that Christians should never be caught doing. How would you like it if you were at your house minding your own business? Going through your routine. Maybe you're paying bills or maybe you're doing something else there in the house that you need to do, cleaning or whatever. And your doorbell rings. And you go and you answer it and it's the police. And they say you're under arrest. And you say, for what? Well, for being a busybody. How many of you would say, well, I've never been a busybody in my life. I'm not guilty. Or how many of us would have to plead guilty? And if it was a crime, how many of us could go to prison? By the way, you know, the Lord does say it's a sin. So we need to examine this, find out what it is, so we're not guilty of it. What the Scriptures say about meddling, snooping, and tattling Christians. By the way, you know, I do want to emphasize this point as we go through our study tonight. Let's try to always make the distinction and see if we can't realize the difference between a meddling, snooping Christian and one who is sincerely, due to love and out of love, concerned about the well-being of somebody else. There is a difference. We're going to try to discuss that a little bit and clarify some questions that we may have in our mind. And we'll do that by defining what we mean when we talk about busybodies. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to first define the term. Who is a busybody? What does that require for it to be actually classified as being a busybody? And then we're going to ask the question, or we're going to make the statement, why some are busybodies. We're going to explain why some are. And then the evils of meddling. What are some of the results of this sin? And then finally, we're going to ask, what should be done about this? So as we study this tonight, let's look at what the Word of God has to say. And hopefully we can all be better for it. You know, 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." You know, I use that illustration about the police officer coming in to arrest you. Notice what this sin is associated with. Notice this. Murder, stealing. You can get arrested for those things. So the Apostle Peter equates being a busybody with some other very vile sins. And we need to recognize it as that as well. Being a busybody is a serious thing in the eyes of God. In Proverbs 26 and verse 17, "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears." Now what is it that's near to those ears of the dog? Teeth. So that's the proverb there. Be careful. You'll wind up hurting yourself when you meddle in somebody else's affairs. And 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now that text from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15 is talking about the busybody. It talks about the cause or the reason why some are busybodies. It talks about the sin itself. It talks about what to do for the person who is a busybody, what they're to do to correct the problem, and then what the church is to do if they don't do what the Lord told them to do about being a busybody. So that passage says quite a bit about it, and we'll get back to 2 Thessalonians in a few minutes. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, "And besides they learn to be idle." younger women. They learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And by the way, just so no one gets the idea that I'm just singling out women here, and the Scripture singles out women, notice the picture there. That is a guy peeking through the fence. And so men can be guilty of this too. Let's understand that. It's not a gender thing. This is a sin that crosses gender lines. Who is a busybody? American Heritage Dictionary defines this term this way: a person who meddles or pries into the affairs of others. To intrude into other people's affairs or business. Interfere. A quidnunc from Latin, what now? In other words, that's a nosy person. So, a busybody is someone that's meddling, intruding into somebody else's affairs. They're nosy. And one of the things, and I want to just go ahead and state this now, and we'll reiterate this as we go through the lesson. What is the difference between somebody who is a meddling, nosy person and somebody who is just concerned about the well-being of another individual? Well, I think that the biggest thing is love. We're genuinely concerned about the well-being of that person, and we're going to ask ourselves the question before we get involved in that person's life: if that was me, would I want them involved in my life? And we'll ask that question. We'll do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. And we're simply out for the betterment of that person. The nosy person is usually looking into someone else's affairs so that they can ruin their reputation, so that they can disrupt their lives and be a thorn in their side, if you will, to bother them, to pester them. So that is one of the key differences. This individual here, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is the person who is prying, intruding, and nosy into the life of somebody else. Now, there are a couple of Greek words. Actually, there are three different Greek words, but two of them are closely related. Paragazomai is the first word, and this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. And according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, the term means to be working around about instead of at one's own business. Peri around, ergon work. Signifies to take more pains than enough about a thing, to waste one's labor, to be meddling with or bustling about other people's matters. So instead of being busy enough in our own things, we're trying to meddle in somebody else's. This is found in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, where following the verb ergazomai, to work, it forms a paranomesai, which this may be produced in a free rendering, some who are not busied in their own business, but are over-busied in that of others. Over-busied in that of others. Another Greek term, this is the term that's related, paragos, according to Vines, means denoting taking up with trifles. It's used of magic arts in Acts 19:19, busybodies in 1 Timothy 5:13, that is meddling in other persons' affairs. And another term, allotriepiskopos, from allotrios, belonging to another person, and episkopos. Now, we've heard that term before, haven't we? Episkopos, which is translated bishop, which is an overseer, which is translated busybody in the Authorized Version, 1 Peter 4:15. What does that mean then? It's a meddler. Was a legal term for a charge brought against Christians as being hostile to civilized society, their purpose being to make Gentiles conform to Christian standards. Some explain it as a prior into others' affairs. Well, you just look at this word, allotrios, belonging to another person, and episkopos. That means that you have made yourself an overseer of the life of somebody else. And may I submit to you that this is an unauthorized exertion of one's authority over somebody else. Now, elders, they are to be overseers of the flock. But let me say this. There are limits to what elders are to oversee. They have their limits. And when an elder
gets over that limit, when an elder begins to pry in the affairs of another person that he really that is outside of his sphere, he himself has become a busybody. When you get outside of your sphere and begin to meddling in the affairs of somebody else, then you have become a busybody. You have done what the Apostle Peter here says, do not do. Strong's says this, one who takes the supervision of affairs pertaining to others and in no wise to himself, a meddler in other men's affairs. And that has the idea of taking supervision or oversight. To bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters, used apparently of a person officiously, inquisitive about others' affairs. Always sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. Busy about trifles and neglectful of important matters, especially busy about other folks' affairs. So, there are several definitions, both in the English dictionary as well as both Vine's and Strong's, regarding the Bible words that are translated busybody. Why are some people busybodies? Why is it that they want to get outside of their sphere of authority and try to oversee the affairs of someone else? They try to meddle in someone else's affairs. Why is that? Well, the Apostle Paul gives some reasons. Let's go back to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. They are idle. They learn to be idle. It's a taught behavior. And being idle, they're not busy in their own affairs, so therefore, guess what leaves them occasion to practice being a busybody, to meddle in somebody else's affairs. And I think it's a general rule, we're going to be busy doing something. And if we don't have our hands busy doing the Lord's work, serving the Lord, taking care of our business, then what might we be tempted to do? See, we're tempted to cross out of our sphere and get over in somebody else's business. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. So one of the reasons why some are busybodies is because they don't have enough to do. They're just not busy enough in their own work. They don't have enough responsibility themselves. Well, that they recognize, that is. I'm surely all of us have responsibilities that we need to take care of. And if the truth is, if we were all busy taking care of our own affairs, we wouldn't have time to mess with somebody else's. So they are idle. That's number one. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul gave, or one of them. Something else, they are negligent. Now, this would follow along with the idea of idle, but this may explain why they're idle. They're simply negligent of fulfilling their own responsibilities. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, we read there about judging. And it's interesting, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? You're failing to take the responsibility of your own faults and overseeing your own life, and you're busy taking care of somebody else's. And we'll get back to Matthew 7 in a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11 says this, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded. That is, you are to mind your own business. You're to take care of your own responsibilities, but people who are negligent in that sphere, guess what? They're going to get involved in somebody else's too often. And again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they do what? Work in quietness and eat their own bread. So they are to take care of their own business. But the reality is some are busybodies because they are negligent in regard to their own responsibilities. And here's something else. Perhaps people are busybodies because they are arrogant. You know, you think about this for a moment. And I thought about this. Why are some people busybodies? Now, may I suggest to you that some folks are busybodies in God's business. You know, they're not satisfied with the way that God has ordained things to be. They're not satisfied with the judgments of God regarding certain sin. Got this email this past week about this fellow suing Zondervan Bible Publishing House as well as Thomas Nelson Bible Publishing House. You know why they're suing? Because their version or their Bible that they publish says that homosexuality is a sin. So that just causes me stress and anxiety and guilt. And so I'm going to sue the publishing house. Well, people are too busy. They're trying to meddle with God's business because it's God's Word that says that, you see. People aren't satisfied with the way that God's doing things, so they want to change it. Now, you think about that. Why do people meddle in other people's matters? Sometimes it's because they're arrogant. They think that they're smarter than the other fellow. They think that they're better than the other fellow. They think that they know better how to do that other fellow's business than they do. So they're going to get in there and they're going to try to correct them. They're going to try to straighten them out. You know, being a parent, I think we learn valuable lessons as parents. You know, you never quit learning lessons. You know, you never quit growing. But as a parent, sometimes you have to back off and let your children learn things for themselves, you know, and instead of meddling in their business, whether it be a mother or a father meddling in their child's business, both of my sons now are married. And I try my best, and Denise does too, to stay out of their business. That's their family now. They can take care of it. And they're going to have to learn some things. Now, we're there anytime they need us, and I'm willing to offer advice anytime I can. That's on the table, and they know it. But I don't meddle in their business. And sometimes they get themselves into a little bind, a little trouble. But, you know, you got to let them learn for themselves. Well, people who are arrogant, they have to run somebody else's... They got to run their life. Not satisfied with letting them do things on their own. And parents, by the way, we do need to learn that lesson. We need to let our children handle their own business and let them grow up, be there to give them advice, let them know that we're there to give them advice, and we love them and we care for them and all of that, and they'll understand it, but let's not be meddling in their business. But some folks, in Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Let us not be guilty of thinking more of ourselves than we ought. And that's what a meddler, a busybody, does. He thinks more of himself than he ought because he thinks he can run somebody else's life for them. Because that fellow, that lady certainly doesn't know how to do that. And so being arrogant and proud, I think, has a part to play with that. We see people doing that with God's will, and we see people doing that in the lives of other folks as well. So, they are idle, they are negligent of their own responsibilities, and they're arrogant. They think they can run somebody else's life better than they can run it themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving godly advice. Those who are older, who have gone through these things, you see someone messing up, listen, yes, let's go and let's talk to them. Ask them if you can help and give some wise counsel. But don't intrude and don't butt in when you're not wanted. Always be there. Be loving, be kind, be gentle. And by the way, you know, Jude, let me go ahead and say this again, because there is a distinction, friend, between you know, being there to help someone and give godly wisdom and advice and also between being a busybody. But in the book of Jude, you know, it's interesting there in the last couple of verses in the book of Jude, in... let's see, in verse 23, "But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." There are times when we do have to go in and we have to say, look, now we're talking about areas of sin. We're talking about matters of life and death spiritually, okay? We have the right to say, look, that's wrong. That is wrong. And if it's someone that we care about, we need to tell them that's wrong. You see a person sin, what should you do about that? Turn your head and walk the other way? Don't worry about it? Absolutely not. So that's not what we're talking about here. Really, we're talking about things that are, as we've in our definitions, things that are trivial, things that are not spiritual, things that are not a matter of life and death spiritually. Okay, those are the things we're talking about. So let's keep that in mind. There are times when we do need to jump in and take care of a problem. Well, what are some evils of meddling? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, again, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, we see an evil of meddling. Notice what it says in verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Most of the time when a meddler is meddling, a busybody is busybodying, guess what else is going on? They're talking to other folks about what's going on. They like to tell things that shouldn't be happening. That's one of the results of meddling. Things are said, things are done that shouldn't be done. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13, Proverbs 11 and verse 13. The scripture there says, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." There is a difference between helping someone, loving them, and trying to keep things a secret, because that's what a friend will do. That's what somebody that loves you will do. But usually the person who is a busybody, they're wanting to run your life, are also telling other folks about what's going on. They are snitching on you. They're telling everybody else your problems. And usually what happens is you're talking about a person who is thinking too highly of themselves, thinking that they can run your life. They like for other people to know that they're running your life. They're not just satisfied running your life. They want other folks to know it also. Something else takes place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, talks about do not give occasion to the devil. Well, when someone is meddling in the affairs of others, you're running the risk of placing a stumbling block before that person. You're running the risk, you are opening the door for Satan to come in and cause a problem in your relationship. And we don't want that, but that's exactly what's happening. An occasion is given to Satan to harm that relationship and to harm that person. So as Christians, we should not be guilty of this sin. We should not be guilty of intruding into other people's lives in trivial matters where we do not belong, because that's just going to make an enemy, and we need to be careful about it. Strife is stirred up. Going back to the book of Proverbs chapter 16 again, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21 says this, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, the sweetness of the lips increasing learning." And also in chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, "These six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that are swift running to evil. Number six, a false witness who speaks lies. And what's the last one? One who sows discord among brethren." One who is meddling in someone else's affairs, one who is a busybody, sows discord. And so that's an evil. That is a consequence of meddling in someone else's affairs. You cause them to become angry, and you sow strife. And that's done both from the meddling and then telling about the meddling and telling about what is in someone else's life that should not be said. And finally, Christ is reproached. Going back to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 again, "to esteem them very richly." Well, that's 1 Thessalonians, not 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 makes a difference, doesn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look at verses 13 and 14 again. "Therefore I desire that younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan." Going back up, what is the result of being a gossip and busybody? Well, you provide an opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. That means that they see you behaving badly, just like in 1 Peter chapter 4, they see you behaving badly, and they can charge you and say, now this is the way Christians act. And we're giving an opportunity for them to do that. And is that good? Absolutely not. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, you know, it's one thing to be thrown in prison because we are serving the Lord, but the Apostle Peter says that we are not to be thrown in prison because we are a busybody in other people's matters, or we are not rightly accused by them. Look at verse 14 again. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. They speak evil against Christ. But on your part, he is glorified. Why? Because you're serving him faithfully. But then in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Now, that would cause them to speak against you, and they would have a right to do so. And when they do that, they think, well, that's the way Christians act. And doesn't it bother you when people talk about how Christians act when they're talking about people in the denominational world and they think they're Christians, or someone that's in the Catholic church and they think they're Christians and they're behaving badly and they think, well, that's the way Christians act. I got another email this past week wanting me to read a book. This particular book was written by this fellow, Searching for Truth. And he talked about how truth is gained from all these different religions. And one of the reasons why he couldn't accept Christianity as revealed in Scripture is because he had the wrong view of the way Christians are supposed to act and behave. He was looking at the denominational world, he was looking actually at the Catholic Church, and saying that this is how they act and this is what Christians are supposed to be. That can't be true. So you see how there are faults view of Christianity has led others to reject Christianity because of their error. We must be careful about that. That is a serious thing. When we cause our friends to say, well, I don't want to be a Christian if that's the way Christians behave, never let us be guilty of putting that stumbling block before our friends, before our neighbors. Let us not be guilty of that. So the evils of meddling, things spoken that shouldn't be, occasions are given to Satan to enter in, to cause sin to come about, strife is stirred up to cause division in the body of Christ, and Christ is reproached. People speak evil against Christianity. Now, what should be done about this sin? What should be done? Going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we learn what should be done. Look at chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, the beginning again in verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. So what does Paul say about this? Those who are busy meddling in the affairs of somebody else, being an overseer over their affairs, what does he say to do about that? Well, you get busy doing your own thing. You take care of your own work and you do it quietly. Again, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. The book of Proverbs is just filled with Proverbs dealing with this particular problem. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a, what? Quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So, Learn to be quiet and take care of your own business. Philippians 2 and verse 12. We are to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Let's take care of our own responsibilities. Secondly, we need to distinguish the difference between helping others and meddling in other people's affairs. There is a difference. Now, sometimes in our own mind, that may be a fine line. And we're trying to decide, okay, is this meddling or is this truly helping them? Well, if we offer our assistance, that's one thing. But when we just jump in with both feet and say, let me tell you how to do this, and let's get this done this way. Now, what have you done? Is there a difference between those two things? Offering your assistance and advising, giving wise counsel, or meddling? Which one? Distinguish the difference between helping others and meddling in other people's affairs. Going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 again, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Now, this is in context. Let me just back up again. Look at verse 12. Now, those who are such what? Verse 11, busybodies. So busybodies are talked about in verse 11. And then in verse 12, he says they are to work with quietness and to eat their own bread. But then verse 13, he says, do not grow weary in doing good. He's not talking about taking yourself out of other people's lives altogether. He's talking about being involved. We must be involved. We need to be involved with one another. But there's a difference between lovingly being involved and being a busybody. And I hope that we can tell the difference. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Let's turn back to Matthew 7. We mentioned the passage a little earlier, but in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Now that idea of judging means to condemn. And he says, do not condemn others. He says in verse 2, for with what judgment or condemnation you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So you're going to get the same measure yourself. Verse 3, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, the problem that most people have that are busybodies, they usually have a problem themselves. And they're not willing to look at their own problems, they're not willing to take care of their own business, and they've got that big plank in their eye, but they're sure willing to get in your business and mess with that little speck in your eye. But notice what he says there in verse 5. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He's not saying get completely out of somebody else's life. He's saying you clearing up your own business, you take care of your own business, you get yourself right, then you will be able to see clearly how to truly help somebody else. So we need to distinguish the difference between helping others and meddling in other people's affairs. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, Philippians 2 and verse 3, we read there, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. But I think verse 3 has a key point in it that we need to remember. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now, why are some busybodies? Because they think they know better than the other person. They look down their nose on the other person and they want to run their business because they know better how to do it than that other fellow does. He's not saying, though, do not get involved in other people's lives. We need to be involved in other people's lives. And I know I'm stressing that. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. There sometimes is a fine line. I was talking to Zach Redmond, the young man that has been working with Dennis Carroll this week. And I asked him, I said, what would you say the difference is between being a helpful, influencing Christian in other people's lives and being a busybody? And he said, well, I think probably the number one thing would be motive. And I think he's right about that. What is our motive? Why are we injecting our thoughts, our instructions in the life of somebody else? Why are we doing that? If it's because we are truly concerned about them and we care about them and we see them doing things that is going to be harmful to them down the road, that's one thing. But then we even need to realize what our sphere is and don't cross that line and get out of our sphere as parents, as friends, as neighbors, but let's stay within our own sphere and be careful about crossing the line. In Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13, the Apostle Paul there, you know, the idea of helping other people throughout Romans chapter 14 and 15, he talks about the strong, bearing with the scruples of the weak, and helping the weak. And in verse 1 of chapter 14, receive one another. But in chapter 14, verses 10 through 13, this is what he says. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We should be concerned about them, and we're going to help them, but let us be careful not to get intrusive into their life and cause them to stumble, cause them to fall. Repent. Let's say that I'm examining myself in view of this lesson tonight, and I find that I'm guilty. What should I do about that? I should repent. I should repent. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Notice what he says. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Admonish him to do what? What should he do? He needs to make correction in his life, doesn't he? Now, there is the idea of note that person not keeping company with him that the Apostle Paul mentions. Now, that's a person that refuses to follow the teaching of the Apostle Paul. But you still don't count them as an enemy. You're always encouraging them to do what's right, to make correction in their life. And that's what I would encourage you to do, to make correction in your life. And certainly, you know, we should never kill the messenger. We should accept God's word no matter what it says. And there's no question that the idea of the busybody in Scripture is a person committing sin. And we need to realize that. Sometimes I know it's difficult to, well, am I crossing the line or not? Well, I think sometimes it may be a judgment call, but we do need to be concerned about it, don't we? And we need to think about it. So who is a busybody? Someone that is meddling in the trifle affairs of someone else, taking oversight over their own life, not taking care of our own business, but taking care of the business of somebody else. Why are some busybodies? Because they're idle, they're not involved in what they ought to be doing, they're negligent, and because they're arrogant. They think that they know better how to run this person's life than they do themselves. And the evils of meddling? Well, you cause strife and problems, you cause enemies, and you cause Christ to be evil spoken of. A busybody in other people's matters should be repented of. And we should be busy doing our own work. Let's work in quietness, taking care of our own business. Yes, let's continue to be involved in each other's lives. Yes, let's help each other get to heaven. As the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us exhort one another to love and to good works. Now that's part of being a Christian. But let us never cross that line and become a meddlesome, nosy, busybody in other people's matters. If you're here tonight and you are a busybody, well, you need to stop. You just need to stop. And you need to look at yourself and you need to confess your sin to God. And you must ask forgiveness from God and from your brethren. If there be any offense toward brethren, you need to make that known to them. I'm not saying public confession. I'm saying necessarily, you know, individual nature. Now, if there is a major problem, then you need to take care of that publicly, of course. You should begin to set an example of a quiet life, following the Lord, serving Him in faithfulness. If you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, I've been talking to Christians tonight and talking about the way that we should conduct ourselves with one another. I understand that, but if you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel. You need to serve Jesus Christ. You need to make Him Lord of your life tonight and do that by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and by faith be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. And then you are to live the kind of life that the Scriptures teach us to live. We're to live a life that we fulfill our responsibilities, we serve the Lord, we serve one another, we're helpful, we're encouraging, but we're not meddling in trifle affairs of others. We're not always injecting ourselves into the lives of somebody else. We are quiet people, we take care of our own business, and we're humble before God. So, if you are here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, whether you need to obey the gospel or you need to make correction in your life, either one, we want you to do what you need to do. As we talked about this morning, let's not procrastinate. Let's not put off serving the Lord. Let's do it right now.